Welcome. You have checked into the enigmatic Riverside Hotel. My name is Carl, and as your concierge, I will guide you through our evening entertainment. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Enigmatic Riverside Hotel Show. Full disclosure, this is going to be a somewhat slow episode, since I do have something planned, but not too much, so I might replay some old stuff. And I also have a guest in the studio today, and that is Desiree. Say hi, Desiree.
Hi, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good to finally have you back on the radio in some capacity. It's been so long.
Yeah, it's been so long. Yeah, I know. I've been away, school, you know, life. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, like, back in the old days when we used to go and, like, speak up and stuff.
Yeah, I know. But I'm here now, so that's what counts.
Yeah, and the reason you have time is, of course, because of coronavirus, which is the big topic right now. And I'm sure lots of you listening are already annoyed by... I haven't listened to too much of our programming today, but I'm sure lots of it has been very corona-focused. Not to completely ignore the topic, we're going to talk about it a little, but also... we want to use this hour of radio to sort of give you a distraction from the happenings of the real world. as an SFU student, Desiree, how does coronavirus affect your everyday life right now?
So all the classes, all the activities, everything's like canceled. So everything's like online. So some professors are like doing like live video stuff with like people tuning in or something like that. Or like putting up like lecture slides with like audio, you know, just teachers are just like trying to make sure, you know, they're not like lagging behind on stuff. And then right now we don't even know how exams are gonna be like, how they're gonna like figure out everything. And it's just a mess, but... yeah, it's really sad because I was hoping, like, it's just 4 more weeks, like...
yeah, so close to the end of the term.
And then all this complication. So, yeah, for myself, hopefully I also speak the minds of other SFU students. It's pretty annoying, but I guess we'll just have to move through it.
Yeah. I'd like to know more about... those live video, or it's not live, I guess, but those video lessons you have to do. Is it just like a Skype group chat or something?
Yeah,
or?
I think it's something. I don't have any classes. Like, my profs are, like, not into that. But, like, I have friends. They're, like, doing it and sending me snaps of it. And I'm just, like, laughing. So most people would, like, put off their video. So, like, you won't see their faces and then their audio. So in case they have, like, a question or they want to say something, then, like, they do it. Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
Am I right in assuming that it's like extremely badly organized and like super awkward?
Yeah, it is super awkward. Like from what I've seen, it's like the prof just keeps like going on and on and on and on, and then you have to like take notes. I mean, I think that method is like kind of close to class. I think it's the closest to class because my profs are just like the slides and then they put in your voice for each slide. Like, I think that's really basic, but the profs that are, like, doing the live video stuff, maybe they really want it to, like, feel more real.
Maybe,
It's
so funny, though. It's always, like, when you put teachers or professors or that sort of profession and technology together, like, it's not going to work out.
Yeah,
it's just going to be a huge mess.
Yeah, it's going to be a mess,
Like, I remember, like, we used to have these smart boards in high school.
Okay.
I don't know if there was a thing... when you went to high school, but it's these like white things that are connected to a computer, and it's supposed to have like kind of a touch screen, so like you have these pens and you're supposed to be able to draw on it.
Okay.
Thing like we had these in almost all of the classrooms and it like never worked out. Like just like I don't know, it was like the lines weren't like accurate to where the pen was drawing and stuff, and it was just
I know what you mean. I don't know how they're like working with it, but they're doing it, so
I don't know, it's such a weird time right now. Like it really like 2 weeks ago, like it was a topic, but no one really cared about it. And now suddenly, like, all of our everyday lives are so impacted by it. Yeah. And like, all the sky trains are like super empty. All the buses are. The buses I've been on have been pretty full, actually. But yeah, it's like.
The whole world is on a standstill because of COVID.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And like, have you been in contact with your family a lot? Are they like worried about you and stuff?
Oh, a lot. Like my family group chat is like constantly buzzing with like videos and pictures and like stuff, tips on what to do. Like my mom has been like crazy worried. Like my dad's a bit chill about it. It's just like, just you know what to do, like wash your hands. He's like being chilled about it. But my mom is like, be careful, don't go out. Why you live in your room? Like it's like, it's just crazy. And then my sisters are like, just take care of yourself. But I know like the pressure is still there, like because I'm here alone kind of, and it's like just be careful kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my god, I have a, we have a family group chat, me and like my dad's side of the family, which is like a group chat with 11 people. And even like if it was my family, 11 people is already like way too much for a group chat in which everyone wants to be active. And so, like, the last 7 days or something have all been, like, corona spamming.
Yeah.
Like, videos and, like, all these articles and stuff.
Yeah.
And so, like, me and my sister were like, okay, guys, let's just, like, stop panicking about this. And, like, we can text if, like, someone's not okay or something.
Yeah.
But, like, it won't make a difference how many articles you read. And everyone was like, yeah, sure, that's right. And then they made like another group chat, and now we have a second family group chat that's like the corona chat. And it's even worse now because now they have like the perfect like vehicle to to spam corona stuff.
Yeah, it's just, you're just spreading so much like panic. Like honestly, even when I went to the library like some days ago, so I sat like where hand sanitizer stuff was, like literally every 3 minutes someone's like out there stretching there. Even I, like I was even feeling like somehow I was like, oh, I'm not sanitizing as much. And then not like I'm indifferent about it, but I'm just like not so worried. But I just remember like feeling like I wasn't being like clean enough, or you just so I would say that even like being around people, it just makes you feel like, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing, or I just remember like I couldn't stay there like for a long time because I just left. Like it was just too much. The paranoia was like too much.
Because it's like you don't know if you might already have it, and then you also know if people like around you already have it, and they might not know.
Yeah,
I actually know someone personally who has like, who thinks they have some symptoms, and they've like quarantined themselves, and they think it's like very serious. And what sucks about that is that it's like really hard to test yourself, like because everyone wants to get like doctor appointments and stuff right now. So yeah, it's tough. It's tough times. It's not fun. But hey, try to make the best of it. Like enjoy the emptiness of certain public spaces right now.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. Do we want to like stop the coronavirus topic at this point?
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's a bit overdone, to be honest.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'm gonna play some music, and then we'll be back here with Desiree. At the Enigmatic Riverside Hotel Show here on CJSF 90.1 FM.
I know you know my darling. I know you know the time goes.
Hello and welcome back to the Enigmatic River Sound Hotel Show. My name is Carl. I'm your host. I hope you're all doing well in these crazy. Oops, no, don't want to play that. In these crazy, exceptional times. To distract you from that a little bit, I'm going to play you a sort of documentary short that I did about a city in the US that has something very special about it, which I'm not going to give away just yet, but you can hear that for yourself. This is a new episode of Peculiar Places. In this Peculiar Places, we'll talk about a highly disputed disease in which people report being allergic to Wi-Fi signals, and how all that relates to a small town in West Virginia. Taking you to the weirdest, most obscure places on Earth, this is Peculiar Places. Around 15% of Americans report to be suffering from allergies. Out of those, the most common ones are food allergies, such as against peanuts, eggs, or cow's milk, or pollen allergies. But if you dig a bit deeper, you'll find that there's all sorts of rare and unusual allergies that some poor people are suffering from, such as water allergies, sunlight allergies, or even ones against human touch. One even more unusual allergy is called EHS, which stands for electrohypersensitivity, which is also often referred to as a Wi-Fi allergy. It sounds kind of made up, but there's actually a pretty large amount of people who report to be suffering from this. One of them is Per Zagerberg, a man in Sweden who used to be a telecommunications engineer, which is pretty ironic because that's literally the worst kind of job for someone to have with this condition. In the late 1980s, he started noticing symptoms such as dizziness, nausea, headaches, and red blotches on his skin whilst being in his work environment. Zagerberg is affected when he's within electromagnetic fields, EMFs for short, that are produced by cell phones, telecom antennas, and TV and radio transmission towers. As a valued member of his team, the company installed metal shields in some rooms at his home, and they even gave him an EMF-resistant suit, and also modified his car so that he could drive safely without experiencing any symptoms. This worked out until the mid-1990s, when cell phone towers started being built around the area where he lived, which made his symptoms so bad that he had to move away. And later on, he even lost his job after losing a court case. Nowadays, he's resorted to living in a far-off cabin in a nature reserve. He's so sensitive to any electromagnetic radiation that one time, when he ran into one of his neighbors and the neighbor's cell phone rang, he immediately blacked out and fell unconscious. What's even worse is that he can't even go to a hospital in the case of an emergency because he estimates that all the technology around there would kill him. What makes EHS so complicated is the fact that there's no real concrete scientific evidence that it's even a thing. In fact, it's a condition that's only recognized in Sweden. And this is because most scientists agree that cell phone EMFs are actually way too weak to have any health effect on the human body. Instead, it's presumed that those people experience what's called the nocebo effect, which, as the name suggests, is kind of like the placebo effect, except it's for negative side effects. So basically, if you're expecting negative health issues because of electromagnetic fields in this case, then you'll actually get them, except it's your body causing them and not the electromagnetic fields. This is what a lot of experts believe is the case with Per Zagerberg. In my opinion, I guess the only real way to find out would be by using a device near him and not telling him about it and then seeing if there's any symptoms. But on the other hand, that would be deliberately risking his health, and you obviously can't do that. And whether you believe that Zagerberg is actually affected, there's actually lots of cases of other people who experience similar or the same things. In 2015, a British teenager committed suicide after experiencing severe symptoms of this. And while her EHS or Wi-Fi allergy might not be the only reason for that, her parents are trying to raise awareness of it now. In 2007, an American woman named Diane Shu was experiencing the same symptoms, and her solution was to move to a place where electromagnetic radiation would never be an issue. And that's our peculiar place for today, which is the town of Greenbank, West Virginia. What's special about Green Bank is the fact that it's where the Robert C. Byrd Green Bank Telescope is located, the world's largest fully steerable radio telescope. This telescope is so powerful that it could apparently detect your phone on Saturn whilst in airplane mode. The thing is, for the telescope to work properly, absolute radio silence around it is required, which is why there's no cell phone signal nearby and Wi-Fi is completely banned around the area. In a documentary series by BBC Click, which is the BBC's technology focus program, Diane Chu was interviewed on why she had to make the move, and this is what she had to say.
Diane is one of around 20 people who have moved to Green Bank because they feel they are essentially allergic to electronic interference.
Being near the cell tower, I had a headache. Being away from the cell tower, the headache went away. Returning closer, from a distance, the headache kept growing and growing and growing.
Shortly after I arrived, she asked if she could turn out the lights.
Add a little bit. This is fair guest. May these gifts trust be blessed and please give us wisdom.
I used to multitask. I used to have a monitor here and I had another computer monitor there and I could work those two things and I would be listening to the radio and I could do many things. Mm. But now, it's not something one wants to have. It's not one something that one would pretend to have. Mm.
Diane has the full support of her family, but there are many out there that don't believe her condition is real. Regardless, she and several others see Green Bank not as a quaint American town, but as the last remaining safe place.
Again, it's hard to say anything about this Wi-Fi allergy. I think either way it's unfair to condemn people and tell them that it's fake, because it's not like we really know better, and although we don't know if Wi-Fi or electromagnetic fields really are the cause, the symptoms that these people experience are definitely real. On another level though, personally, I think there's something very cool about the idea that this one town in the US is literally so disconnected from all the rest of the world. And I'm going to play you some clips of some coverages that the news outlets Atlantic and Fusion did about Green Bank, in which they actually talked to some people who have lived there their entire lives and how they feel about it.
When I first traveled here, I lost service coming up Cheat Mountain, and I was just like, okay, maybe it'll come back when we get to our destination. It never came back. I didn't know what to do. I was so hooked on my cell phone. It was just kind of a shock to me, like, really? They actually have something like that where you can move to and there's no cell phones, no anything. I grew to like it. I did.
In the absence of cellular technology, you plan ahead a little bit. You tell your friend where you're going to meet them. It just, it's hard to imagine it being a requirement of life.
We enjoy coming here where we don't have people say, well, give me your cell phone number. What's your internet access? Do you have Facebook? Do you have Twitter? No, we don't.
Unfortunately, in many places we live, we don't know the neighbor that's maybe immediately next door, and sometimes definitely not the one that's two or three houses, but most people here have some idea who their neighbors are, many times by name or by personal contact.
People in larger cities sometimes forget that you've got to make a human connection. It's not just a matter of getting the best job and making the most money. I've never felt such a strong sense of community until we moved here.
At the schools in Green Bank, all seems normal at first, but get a little closer in Marsha Beveridge's fourth grade classroom and you'll see what's different. Everything has to be hardwired because the school is directly in the shadow of the telescope.
Is it frustrating to you that you have these like mini laptops that are Wi-Fi capable, but you can't really use them to their full potential?
It is frustrating because I feel like that in some ways we're cheating our students. At other schools, they can research on the internet, they can do lots of different things wirelessly, and we can't. There has to be a way that we can have wireless here. We can put a man on the moon. We can find cures for all these different kinds of illnesses. There has to be a way we can have wireless here.
Even with the restrictions on technology, high school students are still plugged in.
Are you guys on Facebook?
Yeah. Yeah.
Instagram?
Yeah. Yep.
Snapchat?
Yeah. Yep.
You're on social media?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You just can't access it on your phone?
Yep.
Do you guys have cell phones?
Well, I have iPod.
In this sense, it really is different growing up in Green Bank. Because across America, 78% of teenagers own a cell phone, and about half of those are smartphones. So even though 16-year-old Drake may not have much use for a smartphone, he still wants one.
So your mom told me that you want a cell phone.
Yep, pretty bad.
Except for one little problem.
I probably live less than a mile, half away from the telescope itself.
You're in the eye of the storm.
Yeah, pretty much.
Job.
Okay, hello, and welcome back to the Enigmatic Riverside Hotel Show. I'm your host, Carl. Today I have...
Desiree!
...here in the studio. We just played a record. This was Woolworm's album, Awe, which I'm pretty sure they themselves actually sent us the record for this. And we weren't super sure if it was going to work out, but as you just heard, it worked perfectly. So, yeah. Super cool. Woolworm, I'm pretty sure I'm playing this Friday at the Red Gate. Thing is, I don't know if that's, like, happening anymore because of, you know, for obvious reasons that we're not gonna get into further detail because we've already done that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, something else Desiree and I were talking about in our break just then is blogs.
Yeah.
Because, like... We both have kind of dabbled in
blogs.
Yeah, Desiree kind of inspired me and my friend to start our own. Thing is, though, like, it's such a weird format because, like, no one ever, like, talks about it. Or, like, I don't know anyone who's like, oh, I just read this on this blog.
Yeah. For me, I would say, like, Well, not many people, not many people, like, go through blogs and stuff. I would say the blogs that people really pay attention to are, like, the ones with, like, always, like, breaking news or stuff like that. Because back home, it's, like, this lady that has, like, a blog, and people, like, always, like, it's, like, how you would go to, I don't know, some website that has news. Like, she was that updated, like, good... true information kind of thing. So I feel like, yeah, some people like just maybe use blogs or like go through blogs if it's really something that like they like, kind of, but generally it's not. Yeah, it's kind of like just people don't really care
much. Yeah, it's like social media has basically taken that, like people's Instagram blogs are much more of a thing right now, which makes sense because it's much more accessible and I guess it's easier to market yourself, kind of. I don't know, it's a weird like leftover thing from like the 2000s, I guess.
It's like if like I know back in the day if you said you had a blog it'd be like, so I mean it
sounds
not
so
like,
cool.
It's not like it's
my blog.
Not cool now, but if you say I have a blog be like, woo, you have a blog. But now you'd be like, oh cool.
Yeah, it's just, like, not a thing people are that interested in, which is pretty sad, because it's, like, a cool way to, like, it's almost like the YouTube of, like, written journalism, where you can broadcast yourself, except you're not broadcasting, you're publishing articles.
Yeah. We can tell them our blogs.
Oh, mine? Like, hell no. I think mine is also in German, so I don't think anyone's going to be interested. But yours? Oh. Yours is...
So my best friend and I have a blog, and it's called, like, the link thing. Like, if you want to go there, it's www.spicewithice.blogspot.com.
So it's, like, spice, like,
Spicewithice.blogspot.com.
Oh, dot blogspot, of course. Because it's like the, blogspot and WordPress.
Yeah.
Are the two, like.
Yeah.
I hope it's spelled this way. Okay, what did I misspell? Spice with ice.
Maybe, did you put the W? I don't know. Like, you meant to put
spice
the W.
Eyes.
Anyways, he has, like, articles. He has, because I write, so he has like just like general articles. It has Netflix reviews for movies. I think I did one. I'm hoping to do a book review soon. It has poetry as well. I think it's kind of like a blend of everything, and I feel it has great content.
So. Yeah, sounds very cool.
Yeah, you guys should go check it out. Even if you're not into, you know, vlogging or vlogs, you should. You like what you see and share.
Yeah, Spice with Eyes.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. With ice. Was it ice you put? Oh my god.
Oh, like ice isn't like ice.
Yeah, like icy.
Spice with ice. Ice. It's very like double meaning kind of,
yeah,
because it's also like spies, as in like James Bond or
ice. Yeah, I like it.
Cool. Yeah. Spice with ice.blogspot.com. Yeah,
this
go.
Is not it.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
I don't think we're gonna find it this episode. But yeah, go check that out if you. I mean, let's be honest. Like, you have time right now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have anything better to do at home.
Yeah. So, yeah, go read stuff. Be enlightened.
Yeah. Cool. What else is there to talk about right now that's not coronavirus? It's weird because it's like the one topic that's like taken over everything else.
Yeah, it's like everything.
And like all the other like political happenings and stuff have been like put on hold. Like no one talks about like Hong Kong anymore or like what else is going on in the world.
The election
I don't know.
Thing in the
US. Yeah. Right? Like,
I haven't even heard about that in a while. I just see like memes and some stuff flying around.
Yeah.
Like not like the way you should be like focused, you know, kind of thing.
It is strange how that like how those two like coincide with each other.
Yeah.
And I wonder how like how they're gonna use that and like how it's gonna affect the election. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm sure like there's a way as a politician that you could like use it for headlines or something like that. Yeah, well, we're going to play some more music. You're going to hear from Girl in Red. This is a song called 4 AM. And then we'll be back here on the Enigmatic Riverside Hotel Show.
Dealing with unrest in the interior. Careful when they mention local legends. He was down there in the trenches. She was holding down home office. Still in constant correspondence. Blackout Sam has got credentials. He keeps flashing them as laminate. He keeps scratching at his neck. The general made a gesture of contrition. Law of averages says something's gotta give. We were stuck up in survival mode. You were twisting on the telephone, giving blankets and aisles to that one persistent kid. Blackout Sam don't have the answer. He keeps waking up at parking ramps. He can never find his keys.
the smoke from all the cinders. Put another sticker on the van. The carpet at the party house. Tear it up and take it out. Somebody should check out Blackout Sound. While we stood there at the service, with her hand up on my shoulder, we could feel like every single thing. Push the pill right through the foil, check the engine, change the oil. Spent the summer wishing it was spring. They sent another man to sing the anthem, but the monitor malfunctioned and he couldn't find the key. Always try to take it so much further, spinning like a sparrow through the sky. Ingested every offering, try to make it interesting. Caught up and consumed what we desire. Take a little comfort, it's just thunder. Put another sticker on the van. Now that it's a haunted house, break the lease and empty out. Somebody should check on Blackout Sound. Somebody should check on Blackout Sound.
Hello and welcome back to the Enigmatic Riverside Hotel Show. Desiree and I just got done with a very passionate conversation about this season of Riverdale.
Yeah.
Which is actually not that bad.
Yeah.
It's getting better, in my opinion.
Yeah. I feel like at some point in the season, it was just like all dry. Like there wasn't much happening.
Mm-hmm. Like the rum storyline?
Yeah. Like it was just probably something they just like put in there to make up for, I don't know. But like when Jughead died, I was like, what? This can't be true.
Yeah.
You know? And then
it's weird because like I always say I watch Riverdale like ironically, mm-hmm. but then I accidentally find myself like actually getting invested in the storyline again.
Yeah.
Because there's always like 10 episodes where nothing interesting happens and it's mm-hmm. just like kind of cringy, like mm-hmm. with like, I don't know what all these storylines are.
Yeah.
And then like suddenly like it actually gets like interesting.
Yeah, I know.
And that's what this season has been like. Like the last 4 episodes or something have like actually like delivered on some stuff.
Yeah.
So props to Riverdale, which they just had to suspend their whole production because of coronavirus. the topic we can't escape from this episode. And I think it's the same for like Supernatural, The Flash, and all those other shows they shoot here in Vancouver, which is crazy. Anyway, sorry, I'm talking about coronavirus again. But yeah. interesting enough, we just found out that the diner from Riverdale is actually, I think it's in, not Abbotsford, but like in that direction sort of from here. So like somewhere like in the southeast from Burnaby. And you can actually go there and like have a milkshake and stuff. So if you, well, probably not the best time to encourage people to go out to public places. But like if you ever like feel safe and you want to have an original Riverdale milkshake, then hit up Rocco's Diner, which is, again, somewhere in the Vancouver area. I'm not sure exactly where, but it's totally a thing. Okay, Desiree, thank you so much for being on this episode. It's been so fun, as always. Thank you guys for tuning in. I hope we could hopefully bring you some much-needed entertainment in these strange times. And yeah, next up, as a few issues and ideas. Before that, gonna play you a quick PSA. Thank you so much for listening.
Hello? Is anyone there? I can't get in. Hello? I need some help. I can't get in. Hello? Hey, can you help me out here? I can't get my wheelchair past the door.
Sorry, I'm in the rush.
Oh. I need some help. I need someone to...
More than 5% of people in Vancouver have a physical disability, and 50% live with or know someone with mobility issues. If you know someone with physical disability, wouldn't you want them to be able to access any building they choose? Let's make every structure, every place in Vancouver accessible to everyone so they can enjoy the beauty of our city. Learn how you can make Vancouver more accessible at rickhanson.com. That's rickhanson.com.